Your first service in Tulsa would have been in a tent.
Yes, Steve Pringle was the pastor, and he had a 1,000-seat tent up. And when I got there, he had heard that I had had a visitation from the Lord. And he asked me, would I come and preach a couple of nights for him, Tuesday and Wednesday? And I was glad to do that because I didn't know very many people in Tulsa. And I went, and at the end of two nights, his crowds had doubled, and he asked me, would I stay till Sunday? Well, by Sunday, all the seats were filled and people were standing. And it was a great time. I stayed there 9 weeks. And during the crusade, a man stepped across the street, pulled out his gun, and shot at me. And the hole was 18 inches from my head. And we asked him, well, the police asked him, why he did that. He said he didn't know. He didn't know me. He didn't have anything against me. He just felt like he should do it. And we forgave him and went on our way.
You were involved in your healing ministry at that time. You were healing people, weren't you?
Yes, I was about 4 or 5 weeks into it.
So wasn't it at that time that the national media picked up on your story?
Yes, they picked up the story big time and carried the headlines that the evangelist is shot at. And it must have been a downtime in the media that day because the papers of America picked it up. And in one day, I was known from coast to coast.
And then your life changed again because I'm quite certain there were a lot of questions, people calling, other evangelists wanting to be in touch with you.
Yes, they phoned in and they flew in and they came by car and they came from the north, from Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, all those states, and people from Oklahoma. Then asked me after I left Tulsa Crusade to come to their churches. And that's how I launched my ministry.
You conducted a one-night service in Nowata, Oklahoma, which turned out to be one of the most important nights of your life and the life of a little deaf boy.
That's right. The little boy, when his ears popped open, he looked up at his mother. He's about 10 or 12, something like that. And he was scared. He had never heard before. She broke into tears, hugged him and kissed him. Then I talked to him. I got behind him where he couldn't see my lips. And I talked to him, and I became convinced that we had a miracle. And it was a great time in my life.
Is this the time, then, when you talked about the feeling that you got in your right hand?
That came around the same time. I kept feeling something tickling or vibrating in my right hand. I didn't know what it was. And so I ignored it. And I was heavy in seeking after God because I didn't want to be like other preachers. I wanted to plan my own path. And I went on a heavy fast and prayer time to ask God what this was in my hand. And he told me that it was his presence and that from that hour you will heal the sick and you will feel my presence in your right hand. Said it will come down your elbow and your right arm into your right hand and no other place in your body. And I thought that was kind of strange. But it was true. The power came in my right hand at different times. It didn't come all the time. The first time that I really knew for sure was the Nowata experience. I touched the little boy, and then I went to a faith temple for a few services in Tulsa, and there was a couple of girls, Edith and Irma, and Irma had had tuberculosis. She had been to Tallahassee and had come home, but she wasn't healed. So she came to Evelyn and me. We had known them for several years. I reached over and touched her in the name of Christ, and she's the first person who noticed my hand. She said, Oral, what is that in your hand? I said, it's nothing, Irma. It's nothing. Because I didn't understand it myself. She said, there's got to be something in your hand. I said, why do you say that? She said, the current flowed through my body like fire when you touched me. with your right hand. And so I knew then that it was open to the public. I mean, the public heard about it.
Yep.